Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maserati coming to you from Hurricane O'Reilly's just down the street from the Boston Garden, where the Celtics open up their season tonight. Got a fully loaded program here. Maz and Big Jim Murray alongside. Fellas.
Hi.
Good, you?
Hi, Peachy. Thank you. Very good. Big Jim Stewart back in our control room in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. And we got a lot to get to today. We're going to do plenty of Celtics, Green Teamers. So, look, we're going to mix in Green Team stuff throughout the course of the day. Season expectations and things like that, okay? So the Green Teamers will come 24-7 the entire time here on this program. I also want to let you know we're going to do plenty of Red Sox in advance of Game 3 here in Houston today, starting after 5 o'clock. So we'll give you plenty of run-up to the Celtics. We're also going to do some football. Greg Bedard is not joining us here. He's in Houston. But he's going to join us for Three Up, Three Down.
I look forward to it.
At 2:35, like we do every week. We've gotten plenty of complaints about where's Bedard, where's Bedard, where's Bedard. And so Bedard can't be here because he's covering the Red Sox, but he is going to join us from his Airbnb because Lord knows that Boston Sports Journal only goes big spending when it comes to these road trips. He's calling from the Airbnb, and he'll do the Three Up, Three Down from the road in Houston.
Yeah, listen, with Bedard, it's simple. If you just go onto Google, you do a Google search, Google Maps, and a Greg Bedard, you can see him in the satellite images. He's there. You can see him from space.
And we're going to start with football. And I'm going to start with this question to the panel and the people of Boston. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
Why would you be asking that question today?
There's a point to it, because I have...
Rodgers.
I have a take. I have a take development.
Rodgers.
I mean, I'm still going to go with Tom Brady, but you can obviously make a case for Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Phillip Rivers, who's been at an MVP level for at least the last few weeks, but I still want Brady. Brady's the best quarterback in the league.
Okay, so I asked that because I'm now going to announce a take development.
Oh.
I have a take announcement.
This one's been worked overnight, huh?
No, not really. I've told you for years that I think Brady and Rodgers have gone back and forth, and that Rodgers had a time and Brady had a time, and I've been sort of Rodgers the last couple of years anyway. I think I'm ready to flip him back.
Really?
I think I'm ready to flip him back. I don't think Brady has... I think they've both kind of come down a little bit this year, both of them.
Sure.
But I think Rodgers has come down farther. And I'd go Brady over Rodgers, but here's the catch. Are they the best? Are they still 1-2?
What, because of Mahomes?
I don't know. Are they still 1-2?
So, again, if you say the best quarterback in the league, to me, it's Rodgers. And I'll tell you what, last night's guy, this is where I thought you were going. Obviously, I was wrong. Once again, you manipulated me. But that's all right. So
I did what?
You manipulated me. So I look at it and I say, what? Take a good look at that Green Bay team. They suck. You know
what?
I watched them last night, and I went, oh, my God, this Green Bay team sucks.
They suck.
They really do. They've got nothing horrible defensively. They've got nothing in the backfield.
Most of their wide receivers aren't really even good route runners.
So they got one. They got one. Adams is a good receiver.
Yeah.
Right? Adams is a good receiver.
And Cobbs is out, who's legit. But
that's it. So now look, the fact that they had a hard time in San Francisco last night, I went, oh, my God, they blow. Green Bay's in trouble. That team's in trouble, and the only reason they won that game is because of the quarterback.
Okay.
Well, and the refs. That's a fake win.
That is a fake win, as you read about. Oh, what a fake win. Total fake win. Complete fake win, and the refs are just part of it. I mean, if you just want a second on the win, it's like, that shows you absolutely nothing. Zero. They play horrible defense all night long. They play stupidly all night long. They're horribly coached. Horribly. How many timeouts did they have to call because the play wasn't in on time? How many times? How many times did they have to call timeout against the play clock because the coaches couldn't get the play in?
It's bad.
How about going for it on fourth and goal at the 4-yard line with 7 minutes left?
Yeah.
They got the ball back 3 times. Like they were all emotional and desperate and so, you know, overwrought because they had struggled on the night that they feel they have to go for it on fourth and four at the goal, you know, down by the goal line. That fails. And it turns out they get the ball back 2-3 more times. Like they kicked a field goal there that Davante Adams touchdown's the ball game. They're horribly coached, no defense, horrible. And the quarterback wasn't so great either until the last couple of drives. He starts chucking it all over the place. So what does that prove you? What does that prove to you? What does that say to you? It says nothing. It proves nothing. I know Aaron Rodgers in the last 2 minutes can chuck the ball all over the field and scramble for a big play and pull it out against a horrible team at home on Monday night. Fake win. Fake.
Glad to hear you say that because it really was.
Oh, fake win.
I think he's borderline given up. And when I say borderline, I'm not criticizing him for it. I just think he looks at it and says
he's surrounded by trash.
He is. He really is. It's garbage.
Fake win.
The fact that they have a winning record is a borderline miracle.
But here's what I realized. He was a little bit a part of the problem. I mean, they showed some replays last night where there were guys open as before he starts his scramble thing. Like, usually he's just running around back there because no one's open. I saw a few replays last night where I'm like, no, if you got rid of the ball sooner, he was there. Get rid of the ball. Quit dancing around. Look around the field. I don't know if his field vision has gone off a little bit until the end, and then, of course, he's, you know, out of this world. But for 55 minutes or whatever, I don't know if he was seeing the field.
Or if he's looking for a big play. Like, it always feels like...
Maybe that's it, Jim.
Yeah, like, he refuses to check down or something.
Right. Hey, guys, open at 7 yards. Just dump it off and let's go.
I don't think he trusts some of those receivers.
Maybe.
Did you see that play early in the game where he took the snap and flicked it out to the guy on the left and the receiver kept going? The guy came back
He's like,
if you're open, stop there and catch the ball.
Yeah, and I don't know who these guys are. It's Severian St. Brown Jenkins. Like, I don't know.
Exxon Valdez.
Who are all those guys? I don't know who those people are. So maybe he doesn't either. But I think he's fallen. And he's always effing hurt. He's always freaking hurt. Now he plays through it, but he's diminished because of it. And so, you know what? I'm putting Brady back ahead of Rodgers. I am this year, what I've seen this year. I mean,
What, has Brady been good this year?
I am nothing if not fair. And what I've seen is Brady's been better than Rodgers. I don't think Brady's been great. So this is why I ask, are they still 1-2? And so I started to look at this today because I wanted to check on Brady's incentives because I feel like he's getting smoked on his incentives. Boy, is he ever. Okay, again, he gets $1 million for finishing top five in each of these categories, and I'm sorry I have to hold the paper out here. I forgot. Papa forgot his readers. he had to finish top five in passer rating, completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown passes, and passing yards for $1 million each. Top five in each. Here's where he ranks each. Passer rating, 12th.
Wow.
12th in passer rating. Rodgers is 11th. Completion percentage, 10th. Rodgers ranks 27th in completion percentage.
Yeah, he's down at like 61%.
Yards per attempt, Brady ranks 18th. 18th. Rodgers is 10th. TD passes, Brady's in the neighborhood. He's 6th with 13. Rodgers is 8th with 12. Passing yards, so this is just net gross passing yards. Stupid, stupid stat. Means nothing. Yards per attempt is more important, but passing yards... Brady ranks 17th.
I'm not surprised by that. Again, 4 games without Edelman.
17th. So they're now what? They're 6 games into this, right?
Yeah. Almost halfway through the year.
I mean, again, in those carries, he ranks 12th, 10th, 18th, 6th, and 17th. Is Brady still the best? I mean, so now you ask me who is. I'm like, humming. Like, do I want to put Mahomes there?
Well, so the question is, are we talking about who's having the best year or who the best quarterback is? Like, you know, to me, that's a different question, which is why I still say Rodgers. I'll take Rodgers right now, given age and everything else. He's got garbage around him. I think he can do more to make a team, to help a team win than any other guy in the league. But if we're talking about who's having the best year, well, then it's Mahomes. It might even be Drew Brees. I don't think Brees has thrown a pick yet. Drew Brees is, I think, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
And I'm telling you, look at Rivers' numbers, especially over the last 2 weeks. He's playing at an MVP level. He's been ridiculous.
Okay, so like, but Jim always throws in these guys that it's like, no. I thought you mean Matt Ryan. Where's that one?
No, because the Falcons stink this year.
But Philip Rivers, I mean, I don't care what kind of year he's having, I guess.
Well,
I don't
know. 4-2. They might be there at the end.
Drew Brees, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 122.3. So here's the other thing, is that when I give you – so Brady, again, ranked 12th, 10th, 18th, 6th, and 17th in these five categories. He needs to finish in the top five. He's porked, okay? The numbers aren't bad. His quarterback rating is 98.2. 10 years ago, that leads the league.
The scale has changed, though.
Yards per attempt, 7.5. That's not a bad number. Passing yards, he's got 1,600 passing yards, ranks 17th. Completion percentage, Maz. He has a completion percentage of 67.8. 67.8. You know how good that is?
And where does he rank?
10th.
See, I'm telling you, the league's a joke now. It's a flag game. That's what it is. It's 7-on-7. And look, when I say a joke, I'm still watching. I'm not telling you I'm not watching. I'm just telling you that the quality of the product to me is suffering as a result of all these rules that have made the game offense and pass happy. It's like an arena game now. It's too much. And I have felt this way for a few weeks. I just think there's way too much offense.
You're the league.
Nobody can stop anybody more. You have 11 quarterbacks in the league who have a rating over 100.
When Tom Brady took over quarterback for the Patriots, like, a good number for completion percentage was 60%. He's a 60% completion guy. That means he's an efficient, you know, efficient passer. Now there are, holy crap, how many going down the list? Drew Brees leads the league, by the way, with a 78% completion percentage. 78. Right now there are 28 guys above 60%. The entire league's above 60%. The entire effing league. Drew Brees leads 77.9%. Derek Carr is 71.7. Kirk Cousins, 71.2. Mitchell Trubisky, 70% completion percentage. 70. Matt Ryan, the aforementioned, 69.6. Jared Goff, 69. Eli Manning, who sucks.
Eli is one of the most inaccurate passers ever, too, if you go by his history.
68.7.
Yeah.
Murray's guy, Philip Rivers, 68.6. Brady's 67.8 is great. It's 10th. It's 10th. So, like, that's another thing that stands out, just how goofy the league has gotten.
Yeah, it's just, again, the passing game has gotten easier than ever. So what does it do? It brings the greats back to the pack, and in some cases behind the pack, because a guy, you don't have to be Brady anymore to be a great quarterback in the league. You don't have to be that accurate. You don't have to be that precise. You don't have to be that smart. All you have to do is be able to get out there and identify a pre-snap, and someone's going to be wide open because you can't cover him anyway.
But I just
really, the numbers are ridiculous. They are ridiculous.
I just wanted to announce. I just wanted to say I'm nothing if not fair. I watch every Packer game. I watch every Patriots game. Brady's playing better right now. And I don't think Brady's playing great. I think Brady's come down. Brady's not sucking. I'm not giving you like the cliff or anything like that. I'm just telling you, I don't think Brady's gotten better. I don't think he's stayed the same. I think his play in the first 6 weeks is a little down. I think Rodgers is down more. And I'm getting annoyed with him. Like, stop getting hurt. Stop dinking around for three quarters. You know, dial it in. Get rid of the ball. Throw to the open guy. He's not doing it. So F you. I'm done.
That's quite the proclamation.
Yeah. No, screw you. Screw you. You don't want to do, you don't want to play the position the right way? Then you know what? You get what you deserve. Brady's better. Okay? Brady's better. Celtics.
Imagine the numbers Jimmy G would put up with this league.
Celtics all day long. Mixing in. Let me just start off with a question. If they don't reach expectations this year, if they don't, what's the reason why? What's the one thing that stands in their way?
Egos, attitude, and a lack of self-awareness.
Absolutely. No question. Ego.
Okay. Do you put that ahead of injury? Can we start with injury?
Well, injury's obvious.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so, injury's obvious.
Especially with, you know, a guy coming off a busted ankle who missed a year, and a guy who can't finish half the years because of his knee.
Yeah,
so,
injury's
there
for everybody. That's a given.
But
right?
this is like, I think this is a particularly... You know, I think it's a real factor on this team.
Yeah. I mean, it is. But again, to me, that one's a given. So, you know, because injury can take down anybody. To me, it's ego. To whether or not I'm with Murray. If they can't figure it out, that could take them down.
A lot of talent, log jam at a lot of positions, and not a lot of minutes.
And haven't we seen sort of that super team slump or the super team?
Sure. Remember when they put the Heat together with the big three?
Absolutely.
And that first month was like a disaster.
Did it happen with Cleveland too?
Oklahoma City last year,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It didn't work. It never worked in OKC, really. And some teams it ultimately kicked in, but it took a while, right? So Hayward's back. who, again, I think you got to keep an eye on, this guy. Whoa. He will release a video. Wait, what was it? Was that Bedard who sent
the
email?
Yeah, it was Bedard that sent it. There was some Fortnite thing he put out last night, or League of Legends. Like, enough with the video games, Gordon.
Is this guy going to play balls? Or is he just going to sit around releasing videos and shoes and video games? Like, keep an eye on Gordon Hayward. But so anyway, he's back in the mix, and now you're officially a super team. Like, some of those squads have a breaking in period.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're going to see some of it with the Celtics. I do. I just think it's going to be really hard to figure out here at the beginning. And some of the guys who were role players in the past, Rozier, Tatum, those guys now are going to want to be bigger players because of what they experienced last year. That's tricky.
Okay, so what else could catch up to them? There's some teams in the East that are better than we're giving them credit for. Could that be it? What could be it? Or is it just the Warriors? Is that it? All right, so Celtics all day long. We open with some football thoughts, I promise, to you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Snap to Rodgers, looking downfield, throws the left side. Devontae's got it out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. Oh, my goodness, what a throw and catch. Again, they beat Maven down the left sidelines. Goodness, 18-yard pickup, and it's first and goal at the 9, 6 seconds remaining. Hunter Bradley the snap, J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up. It is good!
Mason Crosby
delivers the dagger! One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. And the Packers win 33-30.
Fake win. Fake. I swear to God, Murray, I swear I forgot. I was bringing in my whiteboard. I was going to take my 6-year-old's whiteboard and give it to you. I'm so pissed I forgot it. I wanted to do it. Damn it. But that is an asterisk-deserving win if there ever was one. Fake win.
If we were in studio, I would have done it because I have a green marker, too. It really was. They didn't review that interception at the end where the ball's bobbling around. Wasn't a pick. And then that penalty on Richard Sherman, which was so ticky-tack. And Dan Lipschitz of the Over Under podcast, and who did the off-air with you last night, has said this in the beginning of the season. I didn't want to believe him because it sounded like a conspiracy. But he said, watch this season as, like, bum teams will cover, but the NFL will have dubious calls to make sure that, you know, the iron of the league win because they want them to be there at the end. That's what happened last night. The Niners covered the 9.5, which was a big number, and the Packers won because you have to have the Packers there at the end. That was such horse crap with those calls.
Okay, so the call isn't even why...
And they played like garbage.
Well, but so the reason it's a fake win is because they played like crap and they still won. Like, teams get gifted calls all the time. But by the way, if the interception was wiped out, it would have been up to them. They would have started at the same place. They started inside their own 10-yard line. And the doofus McCarthy handed off on first down. He wanted to run the clock out and play for overtime. The a-hole. He's got a generational quarterback who can throw it all over the yard. He's done this routinely. And he handed it off to start the series because he wanted to play for overtime. The moron. No, the interception call wasn't a factor because they would have punted down there anyway. The Sherman call, awful, but happens all the time. It was a fake win because the Packers suck.
I missed the end of the game. I was out by then.
And they played horribly, and they got the win. It's like...
But they blow.
It's like your bullpen coming in, giving up 7 runs, completely wetting themselves, and then the other team throws a double play ball in the dugout, and you get a win. That's a fake win. That's what the Packers did last night.
Hey, fine by me.
But is Tom Brady's back ahead of Rodgers for me, but are they even the best? Evan in the car. Go ahead, Evan. Lead us off today.
Hey, I think Mahomes is severely overrated. I think it's all Andy Reid's team. If you look back, this is the guy who, when McNabb was hurt, you have Jeff Garcia, you have Kevin Kolb, and even Alex Smith looking like studs. I think it's the scheme and the talent around them. As far as Brady and Rodgers, I'd go Brady because I think there's something to be said for playing for 4 quarters and not just the final 10 minutes of the game. Thanks.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that. And also staying healthy. But you think Mahomes is overrated, Mass?
No, I don't. I don't know if he's going to be the greatest thing ever. He's got holes in his game. There's no question. Inexperience is one of them. He looked confused in the early part of that game. I think that's fair to say. The other thing is, like, the pass that he missed to Hunt early in the game, oh, man, that's an easy throw. That's an easy throw. Like, he's got to get some touch in his game. There's no two ways about that because he is he's got a cannon. There's no doubt, but he's got to develop some touch.
Here's Mike in Foxborough on Tom Brady. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mahomes overrated. Reminds me of Colin Kaepernick when he was hot. Drew Brees is the MVP this year. But in regards to Brady, he's having a great year. But you can tell when you go to the game that he doesn't care about the stats. He has a clock in his head. Receiver's not open 2 seconds. He just throws it away. So that
that strip sack.
Mike, did you really just say that?
A strip sack's not a pass. I mean, that was
he was desperately trying to find a pass.
He had one bad series out of that game, and that's what you guys are harping on. He played great other than that. He's played great all year. He's had 3 bad interceptions off of the receiver's hands. Again, affects his passer rating. He's throwing long passes that are resulting in pass interference, and then they run the ball in, so he doesn't get...
Okay, Mike, I'm going to stop there. Do you think Brady's having a great year?
No.
No.
I don't think he's having a horrible year. I think for him, he's okay.
No, he's been good.
Yeah. I'd give him a B.
But I don't think he's been, on his scale, like, I don't think he's been, like, he hasn't gotten better. I don't know how much worse he's gotten, maybe a little. I think he's been good. Small G, good. He's been good.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's been great. I don't think he's been transcendent. And I think he's
not having a great year.
I think he's fallen off a little bit. Now, Edelman, of course, is a factor. Yes, got it. Yeah, of course. But I don't think that accounts for all of it. There were portions of that game on Sunday night where he sort of cost you. I mean, not just the fumble, but some of the decision making there.
I mean, that ball to Gordon down the field there, that ball should have been picked. That's a bad throw. And so, look, now it's not the end of the world. I'm not telling you Brady's a problem, but I don't put Brady at the top of the list of guys who played well for them this year.
Here's Frank in Manchester with something. Go ahead, Frankie.
Hey, A-Team. Listen, I would, if I was the New York Giants, reach out to Green Bay and offer them everything under the sun for Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you, that would put them as a legit team in the NFL.
Okay, the Giants, because they have a running back. I'm sure that was your next statement. He's not being traded, so let's just end that nonsense. But this has been, the midday was just mentioned, I was driving in. I guess there's been some rumblings or just some speculation, people throwing it out there, that the Jacksonville Jaguars should trade for Eli Manning.
They should.
Okay? You know, reunite him with Coughlin, contending team, kind of team Eli belongs on, Jacksonville's problems at quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Jacksonville should trade for Eli Manning. I don't know if that's realistic. I don't really want to talk about that. This is what I want to ask you. From the Patriots standpoint, do the Jacksonville Jaguars scare you more with Blake Bortles at quarterback or Eli Manning?
Eli Manning.
Yeah, even though I went on a whole diatribe about Eli at the end of last week, Eli. Because if he gets into the playoffs, look out. Anything can happen with that guy.
See, I go Bortles there.
Why?
Because Bortles has confidence against you. He should.
So does Eli.
But I don't know. It's been a while. I mean, when was his last big game against New England?
See, I mean...
2015, which they just squeaked out in New York.
The Patriots won.
Yeah.
The Patriots won that ball game on a great kick from Gostkowski. Okay, yep. I remember that.
But no, so do I.
So the big wins were in 2011,
yep.
and then there was just a close loss. I think there's been so much time there between Eli's success against you that I don't know if it's as much of a factor. Bortles has torched you 2 straight times, pretty much. The only reason he lost that AFC title game is because Doofus there started handing it off to the running back in the fourth quarter. So Bortles isn't afraid of you now. He knows your defense. He's had success against you. If I'm Jacksonville, I stick with Bortles there.
So I thought you were going to give me the mobility as a factor.
And it is. That's also, too. I should mention that.
But at the end of the day, I can't get past the fact that I think Blake Bortles sucks. So you know what? I'll take Eli, who's got stones. Bortles is tough, though. I'll give him credit for that. He's tougher than I'd probably give him credit for. But Eli, in a big spot, scares the crap out of me.
All right, we continue with your football thoughts. We're mixing in Celtics as well. I see on the board. I will get to you coming up. But next, 3 up, 3 down with Greg Bedard. He'll join us for his weekly look at who sucked, who was a stud, who was a dud for the Patriots. And that's coming up right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for 3 Up.
He throws it left. Brock, he makes the catch.
over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
An absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, back by popular demand. It's one of the most popular segments. People wanted it, so we're going to give it to you, even though Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, who usually joins us every Tuesday from 2 to 4, he's down in Houston covering the Red Sox, but we're going to bring him in from Houston. And so it tells you how much we want to do this, that we're bringing on a phone guest, which we treat like poison.
Right, we never do.
So if Greg's phone sucks, we're going to dump him. We're going to do this ourselves. Because I can't stand phone guests on horrible phones.
Me too.
It's just painful. So, Greg, how are you? How is your phone? Oops, my fault. Never mind. Greg, how are you? How is your phone?
Good. What's the matter? You don't have to do 4 hours of cycle talk this week or what?
No. Phone's good. Okay, phone's good. But we'll go back to the cycle if you want. That was fun.
Yeah, no problem. I'll dump your ass right now.
I'll do that any day of the week. Three up, three down. Let's go, Greg. No grab ass. Who is the number one star for the Patriots in this game?
James White. Guy's fault.
Don't talk over him. Go, Greg. That's why I hate phone interviews. Go.
Running, passing, everything. He was great. I mean, he's the most – if you had to give an MVP for the first half of the season for the Patriots, you might just give it to James White.
Maz, you want to play along?
So, look, before we get to White, I actually went, believe it or not, talk about role reversal this week. I went Trent Brown. I thought the Patriots' line play in this game, particularly running the ball to the left side, was dynamite. Brown, I thought, was a force in this game. I don't know what Greg feels because I'm sure he dissected and analyzed every fat guy on that team. But to me, their ability to run the ball was a huge factor in this game, and I give the line credit for that.
Second start.
Second worst tackle to Marcus Cannon. So, just in case you want to know, Mass.
Second star.
Landon Roberts. You would be surprised to know. He was really the only, Adrian Claiborne had some good plays, knockdowns on third downs, things like that. But Landon Roberts, this might have been his best game as a Patriot. He was great in the run, broke up a pass on third down. He was really good in this game.
I remember that breakup, too. He jumped up. Remember, I didn't think he could get that high off the ground. I went with the running backs combined as the second star, and I would put White first, Michelle second in that order. I think, to me, White's been the best player on the team all year long.
Okay, third stud there, Greg.
Joe Tooney. I mean, you could basically split it between Tooney and Shaq Mason. The two guards were the reason why the running game was so good. I mean, David Andrews was good, too. I mean, I know you talked a lot about Sonny Michel's third and one run yesterday. Go back and look at the block that David Andrews has to make. It was incredibly difficult. He executed it. If he didn't, Sonny Michel would have been flattened in the backfield and the Patriots would have punted.
Greg, I just think in general their run blocking has been exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, especially the interior guys. We can quibble about, sometimes Trent Brown and Cannon are inconsistent, but Tooney, Andrews, and Shaq Mason have been, on the whole, really, really good this year. And some of the running game, the success, the holes, things like that, it's the scheme that McDaniels and Skarnecki are putting out there, and sort of they are attacking the defenses perfectly each week when it comes to the running game.
Maz, who's your third stud?
So believe it or not, I went Steven Gostkowski. I thought Gostkowski nailed the ball every time he kicked it. Right down the middle, every single time. And before you bring up the kickoffs, I don't put those on him. He's executing what they're asking him to do. To me, that's a coaching issue. That's not a kicking problem. I thought Gostkowski was excellent in this game.
Greg, let me ask you, do you think those were mishits from Gostkowski or calls from the sideline?
I think those are calls from the sideline. I don't think Steven Gostkowski mishits kickoffs on a calm night at Gillette. I mean, I don't know what they're doing on special teams with these kickoffs and things like that. I think they're still trying to figure out the new rules and things like that and their personnel and what they can do and what they cannot do. But there's no question at this point, considering they brought in Cordarrelle Patterson to, be a big weapon in the kick returns, even though I do think eventually when it gets colder and the kickoffs are shorter, I do think he's going to be a factor, but their special teams have been a huge disappointment this far.
Okay, those are the three up with the three down. Number one, dud.
Well, this is going to hurt, but it's going to be an all Rutgers three down. Devin McCourty, number one, just like a lot of it wasn't his problem, like solely his problem in this game. There were times where, you know, I mean, he's covering Tyreek Hill in the slot, and nobody's giving him a jam. I mean, he's got no chance. The first touchdown to Hill in the right corner of the end zone, Harmon's the middle of the field safety, and he just watches Hill dust Devin McCourty. He doesn't even attempt to help him out. It was bad all around.
Teron Harmon to me was number one. I'm sorry. I've never seen it with Teron Harmon. His only picks come on interception. I thought he sucked in this game. I thought he was really bad. Great. And on the long touchdown to Hill, he turned himself around. He didn't even get turned around. He turned his back to the play and left Hill a huge hole on the left side of the field. To me, that was on Harmon.
Greg, number two.
It was completely on Harmon. He was my number two. I mean, that play, he made the interception earlier in the game, so I thought about not putting him there. But that was more of Mahomes just shouldn't have thrown that. That was like, you know, Mahomes has streaks of bad Brett Favre in him. He has some of the good. He has some of the bad also. But, you know, that last play, the 75-yard touchdown, if you watch, Harmon stays in the middle of the field the entire time, and except he gets turned around. Why he didn't just straight backpedal is beyond me, but he got turned around into a pretzel, and it just wasn't good enough. And by the way, I had an epiphany about the Patriots defense. I don't know if you want to get in now or next week, but we can talk about that.
No, I'll ask you about the defense in a second. Who's your number two dud?
So mine was McCourty. I mean, the safety play in this game sucked. It was really bad.
Number three, Greg.
J-Mac, the other McCourty. It's an all Rutgers down, and that, obviously that pains me, but you know, also just not good enough. I mean, the three of them, basically, if you took all the big plays, they all had a factor. How much you want to split it up depends on what the specific defensive call was, but the three of them were borderline atrocious in this game.
I had Jason McCourty third also, all Rutgers three. Okay. The Rutgers three. They failed out of Rutgers.
All right, big boy, what is your epiphany about the Patriots defense?
Okay, well, you know how everybody – the big questions about that I get the most from people about the defense. They're like, okay, well, why are they so bad between the 20s? Why are they good in the red zone? And why do they have trouble with mobile quarterbacks? Well, it struck me watching the game film of this game. It all has to do with the same thing because, you know, when between the 20s, they played the safety like, I mean, he's like 30 yards back. So they're already down one defender between the 20s. They finally let the safety play defense, play 11-on-11 in the red zone. That's why they're better. Then when you mix in a mobile quarterback between the 20s, because you have to defend that extra gap because the quarterback can run, now they're playing two down on defense between the 20s. So that is why they struggle so much with mobile quarterbacks.
Sense. That's interesting.
Greg, have you gone back and looked at film? I know you do that. Have you done that for this game?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to ask you about that 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. Because on that play, it looked like Van Noy was lined up wrong. McCourty yelled at him, told him to go over to the other side of the defense, which he did. Did you see that, and do you know what it was about?
It didn't stand out to me, but I will look at that, and I'll send you an email about it.
Okay, and Maz also put those plays up on our Facebook page. If you're curious to know what Maz is talking about, it was interesting. It did look like Van Noy was just totally out of position, didn't know where to be.
That happened a couple times, and it happened. I saw there were a couple runs with Hightower and McCourty where, you know, Hightower is telling McCourty, well, you know, you've got the outside gap, and Hightower goes inside, then nobody goes into the outside gap, and all of a sudden Hunt's got a 27-yard gain. There were other plays like that in the game. There was one time, I think it was Hightower or it was Van Noy and Rowe both blitzed and left the guy wide open when both of them were not supposed to blitz. There's a lot of that stuff still going on in this defense. And, I mean, that's good and bad. It shouldn't be happening, but at least that's stuff that can get corrected.
Greg, quickly, before we let you go, what do you think of Brady?
I thought he was good. I didn't think he was – you know, sensational. The sack fumble is just inexcusable. That just can't happen. I mean, that's you know, what we expect out of like a Pat Mahomes against the Patriots in his second season. I mean, that changed the whole game. On the whole, I mean, it's a bad Chiefs defense. I thought Brady was in the first half. I thought he was excellent. And then on the final drive, he was awesome. In between, you know, but there's still a lot of stuff going on with guys running, you know, Gordon running wrong routes, Michelle not, you know, flaring out of the backfield correctly. There's still a lot of plays that that offense is leaving out on the field, and they're capable of much better.
Give me 60 seconds or less on Gronkowski versus Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wrote my column on it. I mean, basically, I thought this game, when you looked at it, the way the Patriots used Gronk, and he was heavily involved in the running game and the blocking, even pass blocking. One time, he did a kick slide like he was playing left tackle. I mean, basically, the Patriots showed off in this game how Rob Gronkowski is the ultimate two-way tight end, and how Travis Kelce just cannot hold a candle to him. And so, you know, I mean, Kelce is just—he's a show pony. Gronk's a real legit tight end, and it was like Belichick and McDaniels basically, you know, put up the middle finger to all those guys, Booger McFarlane, Rodney Harrison, whoever else thinks that Travis Kelce is better than Gronk. He might be a better pass catcher, but in terms of being a pure tight end, there was only one on the field on Sunday night.
Okay, Greg, last question. 45 seconds. I just feel like I should ask you because you're with the Red Sox. You're down there covering this series. I just want your impressions as an outsider. Where do you think the Red Sox are at in this thing? Are they in trouble or are they in good shape?
I think the Bregman video is certainly – I think it's going to help the Red Sox. I think the whole Judge thing was a factor in the Yankees series. I don't know what the hell these guys are doing. Why are you even on social media? Why would you poke the bear? I like Eovaldi in this spot. I mean, you know, if you were going to pick one Red Sox to be on the mound in Game 3 in Houston, I mean, probably Porcello would be number one, but Eovaldi would be number two, and that's kind of sad considering the amount of money they're paying Sale and Price. But I like this spot. You know, I'm disappointed that Altuve's not 100%. He's so much fun to watch, but, it's not like Mookie Betts has been killing the ball either.
Okay, Greg, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, see you guys.
See you, Greg. Greg Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal. We'll get back to your calls on all the football stuff. Celtics calls on the board. They open up tonight, I promise, right to you, right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Snap to Mahomes, play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up, fires deep downfield. And Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline, 10-5. Gone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Unbelievable. Daron Harmon is the deep center fielder. He catches the ball 5 yards in front of him.
75 yards, Mahomes to Hill.
The only way this happens is because of the velocity on the football. It is a laser. The ball doesn't hang. It's thrown high and behind Hill. He almost gets it, and it's just Harmon didn't have a chance. That's unbelievable.
I just say that was bad. Bad defense, bad coaching, bad playing. Bad everything. It wasn't really an extended play. It wasn't a scramble. The one to Hunt was more of a scramble play.
Right.
So it's more of the same. Bad coaching, bad playing, just bad defense.
Is one of the challenges of those just the timing in terms of like everybody seeing it at the same time and understanding, okay, the rules on the play have changed now, or is it just a timing thing where everybody kind of knows at a certain point you've kind of transitioned to this scramble drill sequence?
Every play is a little bit different, so there's no necessarily cut and dried rule, but depending on what you're in, we have rules that we follow based on what the call is and so forth, and so we obviously didn't do it very well in a couple of instances, so it's got to be coached better, it's got to be executed better. I mean, it's not a mystery. We played almost every quarterback we've played has been a scrambling quarterback, so it's not like we haven't seen one before or it hasn't come up before. We just had a couple breakdowns last night. It was more than one play, but there were a couple breakdowns that were just ended up in bad plays, which we got to do a better job. We got to coach it better, and we got to play it better.
Yeah, I'm glad Bill changed his tune, because if you remember, he was asked about those long plays after the game, and we played it for you yesterday, and he said, well, there are a lot of plays out there. There are a lot of good players out there. And he basically said his answer was, well, that's the kind of game it was. What do you expect? There's great players going back and forth. And I, you know, no, that's no excuse for giving up 75-yard untouched scoring plays. That just shouldn't happen. When you're up 7 points with 4 minutes left, you give up a 75-yard touchdown pass where the guy's not touched? No, 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 no. So I'm glad Bill sort of changed his tune and went back to, nope, that's just bad defense.
Yeah, I just think that play was horrendous. And again, I put the bulk of that one on Harmon, because if you watch the replay of it, Hill starts running. Harmon turned around on his own. Like, it's not as if there was this great cut that Hill made that twisted Harmon around. Harmon turned on his own. He totally turned his back on the play, and then Hill changed direction, and the hole for Mahomes to throw into, the window for him to throw into, was huge.
Okay, so we've got Patriots defense. We've got the quarterback thing. I've officially put Brady back on top of Rodgers. He's bugging the crap out of me, so he's demoted. But are they still 1-2 in the league? Because I don't think Brady's been great this year. He's been good, but I think he's come back a little bit. I think Rodgers has come back more than that. That's on the table, and the Celtics open up tonight. Your thoughts on that team? What issues could get in the way? If they don't meet expectations, why? Give me a reason. Dylan in Fall River, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, with the Celtics and any team in the playoffs, most important is the starting five, and I feel like I only feel confident in two out of our five, Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum. I don't think Gordon Hayward was that great in Utah, where he was one of the featured players. I don't expect him to be that much better here in Boston as the third option at best. I think Horford takes a step back as well. So Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, the only two I really count on. Jalen Brown, I think his ceiling is...
Well, let me just stop there, Dylan, because the thing about you saying about you don't think Gordon Hayward's going to be great here. Do you have any concerns about Gordon Hayward?
Yes, sure, absolutely. I mean, the injuries start there, but then beyond it, how does he fit in? He's the one new one integrating now. So there's a factor there. He's going to have to make an adjustment on the fly. You know, until he mentioned, I didn't even think about it. I had zero concern about Horford. Zero.
I still don't.
If there's a guy on this team who will give up his shots and not bat an eye about it, it's Horford.
I thought the whole value of him was setting screens at the top of the key anyway.
I mean, he's a team player.
That should be slump-proof, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not worried about Horford at all. I'm not for a second.
His whole intangible bag of crap and all this screening and all this stuff that we're not supposed to
be able to
understand.
I have a worry about Horford if you're interested in it.
Go ahead.
I can't even hear what Jimmy's saying. Go ahead.
I have a concern about Horford if you're interested in it.
Please.
Defensively, he looked a step slow at the end of the season, so I wonder if that carries over into this year.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from the standpoint, and I didn't factor that in. The whole, you know, one ball and five guys on the floor, that's not going to be an issue for Horford. Horford won't care about the ball.
Agreed, 100%.
So I don't worry about that with him.
I think an issue is, can you get the absolute most out of Hayward and Tatum and Brown at the same time?
When there's a log jam for minutes, yeah, I don't know.
Does it something have to give?
Sure.
Yes. And it's not just minutes, it's ball. It's who takes the shot.
There are your three wings in your closing five with Horford in the middle and Kyrie bringing up the ball.
So Smart's not on the floor at the end of a close game, Jimmy.
Unless it's a defensive situation.
No, but so what's your answer to that question then? That there is room for all three? They're all going to be able to get as much room and as much time as they need?
Absolutely, 100% yes.
So I want to see how he does. Now look, offensively, that's your best team. Right? That's the best team on the floor at the end of the game. So let's see if Stevens goes with it. I want to see, like, you know, I don't know if they fully trust Tatum on defense, or, you know, we'll see some of that. Or Kyrie. But you're not taking Kyrie off the floor.
Okay, Celtic stuff, football stuff. We'll get into the Red Sox. Don't you worry about that. Right back to you, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.